Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. The day today is the 29th of April, year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. I am your other co-host, Nicholas Inkle, a.k.a. Motown Noah. I did remember to do it today. We're going to talk about something that has taken Pistons Twitter by storm. It's been a slowly building fire. It's a slow burn, I guess you could say. And I feel like it sort of met its apex, not just following the Detroit Pistons win over the Atlanta Hawks, a team that was on the second night of a back-to-back after throttling Milwaukee, and a team that was without Trae Young, its undisputed best player. The apex actually arrived when Johnny Kane tore Pistons Twitter apart, and I gotta be honest, I loved every second of it, even though technically it was sort of aimed at me a little bit. I was like, you're right, you are making valid points. Johnny is basically saying, hey, if you're mad that the Pistons are winning games, especially those when those games are led by their youth, you're kind of dumb. Like, if you're a fan of the team, you should just be happy that they're winning regardless, despite the fact that it may negatively impact their chances in the draft.
I disagree, now, as I wrote on Wednesday.
So this leads to James Edwards III's article that did come out on The Athletic as of this recording 7 hours ago.
And I didn't write that. I didn't see the Johnny stuff until today. I missed that completely.
Yeah, we talked about it this morning. You said you had to catch up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't see it.
So I want to throw out two major things that you talked about. So for those who haven't had a chance to read it, or maybe for those who do not have a subscription to The Athletic, which, by the way, before I get into this, any promos going on right now?
I'm sure there are. You just have to check the story. Yeah, I'm sure there is. If not, regardless, it's one less beer month, and all your friends have a subscription. So don't be the odd man out or woman.
Should we do a giveaway where we just, like, away an Athletic subscription?
I'll give away your subscription. We'll set something up on our next episode on how to enter.
That'd be fun. I like that.
I'll do that.
Because we're about to hit 600 followers on Twitter. So we'll do it for that. Our 600 follower giveaway.
No, let's make them work. We get to 1,000.
We'll talk.
Both have close to 30,000 followers. I'm at 18. I'm at close to 18. You're at 10. We should be able to get 1,000 on BNC. We'll talk about it later.
We'll get there. So anyways, you wrote an article, sort of the contrarian viewpoint, as you said, to what Johnny was saying, that, hey, Detroit actually does need to lose, even though ultimately it does come down to odds. You know, even if you do have the worst record, you could still pick fifth, right? You could still pick sixth if you have the second worst. Like, these are the things that you wrote. So it's still up to chance, but it's still important to, at the very least, put yourself in the best position possible rather than just assume that you're going to be the Pelicans of this draft, win 33 games, and end up with Zion Williamson, right? That's an anomaly. That's what makes it the lottery. So this is what you wrote about. Here are two points that you made that I want to sort of pick your brain on. One of them is serious, and one of them is I'm kind of serious. Which one do you want to hear first?
Your pick.
Okay, I'm going to give you the kind of serious one first. This is a direct quote. By all accounts, the 2021 NBA draft is the party you want to show up early for. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs. You've heard the names. It's a top four heavy class. Anyone we're leaving out there?
Kuminga?
Yeah, you don't like Kuminga anymore.
I like Kuminga, but I think that after doing more research and talking to people, I think it's 1 and 2. Then there's a gap for 3 and 4, and then there's a bigger gap for 5.
Good. So we're finally on the same page that Detroit shouldn't want Kuminga because he's super raw, and I don't.
You should want Kuminga if you're at 6.
Sure, but I don't. If we are on the timeline that Detroit is allegedly on, I don't think Kuminga fits that. Sekou fits it because we drafted him 2 years ago. Kuminga would fit it if we drafted him 2 years ago, but I just think when you're 18, when you just turned 18, I don't know. It just makes me nervous for a team that wants to win in 3 years.
I get it. I wouldn't argue that.
Second point that you made. This one I genuinely do believe, very strong point. I would have never considered it.
I know what point you're going to say, too, just knowing you.
Go ahead. Throw it out there.
That this is the last chance, maybe, at a top pick?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Good guess, though. You do know me well. The point that I really liked that you made was in a season where for about 75, maybe less percent of it, fans were not allowed in the arena. Now they actually are. There wasn't a ton of pressure other than the at-home viewers watching and tweeting online and reading critical articles and, you know, writing hit pieces. There really wasn't. You can't get booed if it's friends and family in the arena, right? And even if there were fans, like, I like to imagine that the ones who are there now, they know where Detroit is at. And if not all of them do, I'm hoping that 90% of them do, and the other 10% are just like, hey, I have this extra ticket, and maybe you don't really care. But I think once you get into next season, and I don't, it's really hard to imagine where we're going to be at. But I'd say that we're going to be pretty close to full capacity, or at least maybe half. I don't care. And people are going to start to get maybe a little bit antsy, and there is going to be sort of that pressure to not be terrible. I guess it almost does tie into the point that you just made in that this could be your last real chance at just blowing these last, you know, 10 or so games because there's really nobody there to watch.
Well, that's part of it. This could be their last real chance. Of course, like you said, with the odds, things can happen. But you've watched this team closely, as have I, obviously, this whole season. They're better than their record.
Yeah.
As I wrote in the piece, if you just transport this year's team to next season without even adding anybody, the only thing that's added is the experience the young guys got and Jeremy got from being a go-to guy, I would put more money on them competing for a play-in spot than competing for a top three pick.
Agreed, 100%.
That's why, and credit to Dwayne and credit to Troy for putting a team together, but with 10 games left, you're staring at a chance to get the best odds at the number one pick. That opportunity, barring injury, might not happen again for the next few years.
People really dislike the idea of Jeremy and Corey and Mason and Wayne and these guys going out there, but let me tell you something. The kids got it done the other night. And again, it was a team on the second night of a back-to-back, and it was a Hawks team that is, you know, kind of wishy-washy. But it was, I think, if memory serves, one of, if not the first time that we saw the young guys on this team build, maintain, and close out a lead. And then even sort of even widen the gap there at the end. It felt like it was the first time that we saw Killian, Sadiq, Isaiah. We got to see these guys really get after it and pull it off on their own. Am I wrong?
Aside from the OKC game, when I wrote that exact column after.
And yeah. I didn't get to watch that game, you're right. So I didn't get to see that
but
one.
No, he ran with the 22. Casey ran with the 22 and unders most of the fourth. And that was, if you ask most fans, that is ideal. Mm-hmm. What I was getting at in the column, and let me make this point clear. This, me saying that the Pistons should embrace the tank. Can I just go on a rant real quick?
Looking something up, so that's perfect.
Compliment what I wrote. First of all, this wasn't a saying this person needs to do this, this person needs to do that. It's a it's an organizational decision. If Tom Gores, the owner, wanted these last 10 games, Servetus to play 15 minutes and Jahlil to cut into Mason and Isaiah's, it would happen. It's a top-down thing. It's not one person. It's the organization as a whole committing for 10 games, these last 10 games, to go for the best odds possible. It was I was not directing it at one single person. If I were in Dwayne's shoes and nobody told me to do anything different, I would play to win too. That's just how I am built. If somebody told me, if my boss told me to do this, I would do that because I would like a job. Now that that's out of the way, a lot of people were saying you don't want to be like, that's not, that goes against the culture that Detroit has crafted this season. I disagree. If we're talking 20, 30 games, yes, go ahead and roll with whoever you want to do. Go ahead and roll whatever do whatever you want to do. There's 20, 30 games left. That's a lot of games left.
Go and beat the Nets if you want.
Sure. There's 10. We're at the point, like, you're in the position, literally, you're tied with the Timberwolves to have the best odds. You've made it this far. There's only 10 games left. That's 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
Just commit for these final 10 games. Isaiah's not going to forget how to play hard because he played less in the final 10 games. Sadiq's not going to forget how to play hard. Jeremy's going to understand he's here to help build something. I think if you asked Jeremy, he'd be aware that adding another transcendent player to this roster would help him and help this franchise. I just think 10 games, the fact that they have a chance, a real chance to land the best odds at the number one pick with 10 games left is the perfect time to fully embrace the tank. Throw Servetus, throw Servetus in there for 15, 20 minutes. Take all of Wayne's minutes. They did Wayne more of a service than they had to. After the deadline, after the buyout, they didn't have to play Wayne. They did. And I think that goes a long way with players. I think Wayne at this point with 10 games left would understand why if he didn't play. I think the same goes for Mason. I think the same goes for some older guys. I just think the 10-game mark, the fact that they're right in the thick of a chance to get the best odds, I think everybody would understand if they just shifted even younger.
Yeah. I think Detroit is in a position, just to your point, where in these final 10 games, you talk about a guy like Jeremy, and does he all of a sudden feel like, oh my gosh, it is now like the trust the process Sixers? No. Because if we were to get a guy like Cade or a guy like Mobley or a guy like Green alongside you, all this does is extend the time frame on the very reason that you came to Detroit in the first place and the very reason that you believed in Troy Weaver's vision in the first place, right? So all you're doing is just helping.
And those Sixers teams didn't have an Isaiah Stewart and a Sadiq Bey and a Killian and a Hamidou Diallo. They didn't have young guys that showed this much promise. Like the foundation as is set. Dwayne and Troy did a phenomenal job of taking what seemed like dark days to make it brighter, to craft a roster that's going to give you their all every single night. That mission is accomplished. Now it is time to go. They need a game. They need at least two game changers. Now is the chance to go get your one.
I will be absolutely fascinated if we go at three.
What do you mean if we go at three?
I'm sorry. If we pick third, I almost want that more than anything because I want to see what Troy does.
Jalen Green.
Because if it's one, easy. If it's two, easy. See, I think Jalen Green is easy. I don't think it's a discussion.
And I think if they pick after five, James Buchwright from Connecticut.
Can I throw something out there? They pick five. Do you trade down?
I would.
So you agree with that? I don't. You want Scotty? Do you want Davion Mitchell? Do you want Jonathan Kuminga?
If you can get Buchwright or the guard, like a scoring guard like that. Yeah, at seven, I would move back.
Could you think you could get Okiki from like Orlando? Well, they're going to be picking in the top five anyway, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'd have to. We can revisit that.
This will be we don't need to go into this right now. You're right. But we'll just say tentatively right now, James and I are on the same page. If you pick five, trade down. I have a question for you, and I don't know if maybe your mentions have given you any indication.
Well, can I ask you, where do you stand on this? Because you said you agreed with Johnny, but you also agreed with me.
I think he was making valid points, but the reason that I felt like even some of what he was saying was almost targeted at me was because what I said after the Atlanta game was, that's a frustrating game to win. But at the end of the day, when you win in the way that you do, it being because of the young guys.
Yeah, but we also have to remember, Corey scored some points. Jeremy scored some points.
100%.
When DSJ comes back, I think him and Saban can eat up those Corey. Like, that's all I'm saying is if you go out and win, there's nothing. Like, it just happens. Fine. But I think you should at least give yourself the best chance. And if that means sitting Corey to play DSJ and Saban, if you win with those guys, you did what fans just want to know that they have the best chance at getting the number one pick.
100%. And that's where I was going to go with it.
Because you've committed this far.
It makes me feel like a bad fan and a bad person who loves this team unconditionally. That if I get off work, I wasn't able to watch the game, and I look at the score and we win by six, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that we won that game by six. And then I look, Frank Jackson had 19 again, which, by the way, if he ever, no more braids ever.
You like the floppy curls?
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. Who was it that Corey Joseph Benton, he folded him over?
Oh, Brandon Goodwin.
that was – so here's the question. So, okay, well, first to answer, because my question is about Corey Joseph, but no, I do want them to lose. I don't want them to win another game this year.
No, and you should, simply because of where they are at the finish line.
Yeah.
Right? If so, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. If they had 23-24 wins right now, what would you say?
You would probably say go for it, or it kind of it's a coin flip. It doesn't, if you go it, for it, it
just,
doesn't matter.
Just win with the young. Matter. Just win, because you're sure. not going to get to the top. But the fact, like, again, it all comes down to, as you can see the finish line, you're right there. Why not just embrace it?
Here's the thing, and I think this is kind of what you're getting at. This is what you've said. If I'm Detroit, I have the worst odds. I have a 14% chance to get the number one pick in the draft. Now, this does mean I can drop to fifth. Let's pretend that I drop to four. Let's pretend I do drop to five.
You mean
the
best odds, not the worst odds.
Did I say the worst? Yeah. I apologize. I meant the best odds. You have the best odds to get the number one pick in the draft, but you fall to four or five.
That's fine.
You at least set yourself up and put yourself in the best position possible. You and I are on the same page with this.
Yeah.
So if it means resting Jeremy, but then this is where it gets really murky. I don't understand what you can and cannot legally do in the NBA anymore, because we mentioned the other day, Al Horford has been a healthy scratch for like 2 months now. I don't understand I don't know what the Pistons have to do, if they just have to make up, pull a Derrick Rose and be like, hey, he's got a stomach ache. I mean, Sorry.
You can dress Jeremy and just not play him.
That's a good point, actually.
Or you can. Jeremy rolled his ankle today in practice behind closed doors. He's out for the rest of the year.
That's interesting.
And just make him wear a walking boot in public.
Corey Joseph has played, I believe, 16 games for Detroit.
Yes.
So far. Started about half of them.
It's been exceptional.
Putting up 12 and 5. 51%, 38% from three, about 81% from the line.
Good defender.
Why do Pistons fans never want to see him play basketball again? I thoroughly enjoy watching him.
Because of what we just spent the last 17 minutes talking about.
People like get it. It's not even the whole, oh my gosh, he's taking the ball out of Killian's hands, how dare he? It's not the he's playing too well and we're winning too many games.
I think that's most of it.
People think no, James. This is. Remember, okay, fan correspondent here. I'm telling
you. You're right.
People tweet about him that like he's bad.
Yeah, no,
I don't.
He's not bad.
I don't get it.
If the Pistons waive him, he got himself comfortably a new deal. This summer.
I'm trying to find the DM that I got. I believe it was. Is it right here, Austin Neumeier? Yes, Austin asked us. Somebody give a little bit of a too long didn't read on what the question is, or just sort of make it its own thing. James, if you had to pick a veteran to sort of lead the way next year, if the formula were to be the same, you got the young guys and you got the vets, who would you pick? Because I want Corey Joseph on this team again. He's perfect.
Does Jeremy not count as a vet?
Well, I just mean in terms of if you have to, like, because yes, Jeremy's just here. But if it comes down to waiving Corey Joseph or bringing him back, I apologize, would you also agree that Corey Joseph, probably the guy that you want orchestrating this team in like a first, well, not a first unit, actually. Let me walk
as
that one back.
As a second unit?
Yes, I do not want Corey Joseph as a starter. But off the bench, yes.
You would hear guy? You yes. would hear no qualms from James if the Pistons, I don't think they pick up his $12 million. Maybe I'm wrong, just simply because I don't know how big of players they want to be in free agency, and they can just be fine with it and maybe flip them at next year. But money aside, I'm with you. He's a good – first of all, he's been good in Detroit as a player. He's a great locker room guy. He's about everything that the franchise is about, competes every night, plays defense, smart player. Killian has – it sounds like Killian loves him. And if you care about Killian –
which if you're listening to this show,
you probably do. It sounds like him and Corey are really – like I've tweeted the other – like Killian threw a bad turnover or something. He just had a rough stretch, and he was sitting on the bench a little long after a timeout. He was going back out there, and Corey was just over there talking to him. Like, you need guys like that. And I'm at no question whatsoever you need guys like that.
Three things. One, it's also worth noting he and Dwayne have a pre-existing relationship, correct?
Yeah, he coached him in Toronto.
Right. There you
go.
Knows
his family. Corey's from Canada, yeah.
Second thing, I'll give you something I don't like about Corey Joseph. Now, Corey Joseph otherwise been exceptional for Detroit. This isn't even his fault, okay? I'm not going to put it on Dwayne. I'm going to put it on Sean. Sean, if you're listening to this, stop giving double screen sets for Corey and not giving them for Killian. That's my gripe. If I watch Corey Joseph take the ball up the floor one more time, sorry, if I watch Jeremy take it up the floor one more time, hand it off to Corey, and then he, Jeremy, and Plum set up the double screens, Corey runs off of those, I'm going to lose my mind. And here's the thing with Killian.
I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I'm not going to – I'm going to leave my thoughts here. Sean's not the one to
– I'm kidding with blaming Sean Sweeney. Yeah. It's not actually Sean Sweeney's fault.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Killian, and people were pointing this out in the Atlanta game. I think you did. I know for a fact Rod did, and a bunch of people, other people on Twitter did. A lot of tentativeness. He's a lot of just shoot the ball.
Yeah, there was.
It's okay. It's okay to try to score. We know you're a great passer, but we also kind of want to see what you can do. And then he'll put up these weird sort of like push shots. I don't know. It's weird watching him sometimes. He's been great.
He's still getting used to it.
Yes. Since he's come back, he's been amazing, and I've loved every single second of it.
Wouldn't say amazing, but he's been better. Yeah.
He's been amazing. So the third thing.
Quit box score watching.
You
wouldn't even say that if you were box score watching.
I was watching that Hawks game. I'll say this. He was not amazing in the Hawks game.
No.
He was kind of a little bit ugh in the Hawks game. But everything else has been.
Yeah, he's played 15
games.
No, I know.
I'm not slighting him.
No, I know. You're doing the opposite.
Oh, okay. I'm gassing him up too much.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Third thing, Hollinger came out with a piece today. I get the notification, and it's like, don't give me that look. You'll see where I'm going. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere with this. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
So it's like, what's the market on Lowry? Ooh, where's Lonzo going? I go, oh, this is a speculative free agent piece. Well, not speculative. He's got some nuggets.
Well, yeah. We reported today that Philly was going, they're going after Lowry in the offseason.
There was a little Pistons nugget in there.
Was there? I didn't read the piece. Read the piece.
So he was talking about teams who could create some exceptional number of cap space. And like Orlando, I think, was in there. Cleveland was in there. And then he goes, technically, the Pistons could create $25 million, but a majority of that's going to get eaten up by their draft picks.
Yeah.
Whoever they get in the first round.
Right.
I go, true. I go, anything else you want to say about Detroit and free agents? Nothing else. There was nothing in there. So I scrolled. I just stopped reading it. Scrolled to the bottom. Gave him the green face guy.
This was
awesome. And then I clicked out of it. Would have been very easy for me to be like, I hated this. but John Hollinger, you are welcome for that. So how do I articulate this question?
You can do it.
Is there a point in this offseason where you think maybe it's after the summer league, which we don't even know when. That's probably going to be more of a fall league thing. I mean,
my guess is August.
The lottery's in what, June? The 20, like June 20 something, I think.
Yeah.
The start of free agency.
It's going to be late summer for that stuff.
The start of free agency is August 1st now.
Yes.
Which means the draft will be somewhere in July. Right?
Late July after the season. Yeah, sounds right.
Okay. So let's fast forward to September. Are you going to agree with me about the Cade Cunningham thing, about how this team is going to... Ooh, here's something I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. Just disregard what I was going to say.
Okay.
I've gone a little bit too long without Evan Mobley. You know how I know that?
How? Somebody said something?
I kind of want Jalen Green.
I'm not mad
at that. I haven't been put in Mobley prison in a really long time. I need to watch him play live basketball, and I will immediately be back.
But now you're on the Jalen Green.
I'm kind of like, I kind of want Jalen Green.
And then Detroit gets the number one pick, and then it's just Cade.
We can't lose. We can't lose here. Detroit isn't such a... You win some more games down the stretch. Absolutely lose. Lazarus Jackson, Dean of Pistons Twitter, asked a great question on Twitter today. If Cade Cunningham is 6'3", is he the definitive number one still?
No.
See, that was what a majority of people said, and I sort of just mindlessly said yes.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm sorry. He said 6'5". I apologize. He said 6'5", not 6'3".
Maybe, still. Yeah, just pure point guard. Maybe. At 6'8", you can comfortably play him 1 through 3. At 6'5", he's... pretty strictly a 1-2, but it's still
Is he giving Ben Simmons a bucket?
I mean, it's, You'd hope so. If you pick him number one, do you hope he can give Ben Simmons a bucket? Yeah. Is he scoring on Ben Simmons at some point in his life? Yes, I will put good money on that.
I'm a little bit worried about the – what's going on with Hamidou Diallo? Can you articulate it to me?
I just think it's a guy that came here in the middle of the season, had to deal with his injury, playing on and off. They were being cautious, unable to find a rhythm. I think he's just trying to fit in where he gets in. They're trying a bunch of different lineups. I think he'll be fine. I think Hamidou will be fine. It's just it's a weird situation right now for him just joining so late.
Agree. Yeah. I just didn't know if there was maybe a little bit of a James breaking news. Oh, he's actually been playing with a ruptured Achilles the whole time.
Oh no, no. I think the ball just hasn't gone in the hoop. I think the ball was going in the hoop a lot when he first got here.
Well, a lot of the stuff that he's done around the rim is reminiscent of the first three games that he was here when he was drawing a bunch of and ones. He actually got teed up the other night against Atlanta. Here's how you know I was actually watching the game, by the way, James.
No, he got teed up
because he actually got something to fall at
the
rim.
I didn't say you weren't watching the games. You said since Killian's been back, he's been amazing. That's
facts. Relative to what he was before, yes.
All right, well, yeah, we'd say that then, yeah.
Sure. He's able to get to the rim. I think he's still able to kind of create the same contact that he was.
Yeah, I think he's pressing a little bit more.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I wouldn't.
Question for you: best two man game on the team.
Ooh,
I have been chewing on this one for like. I was going to ask you this on Sunday. I didn't have an answer for you though. I don't know.
I think Josh and Isaiah have some good chemistry. It's just I think, if I can recall, Killian and Isaiah had something brewing for a little bit, and that's kind of died down.
I don't want to say Jeremy and Mason. That's boring. I don't even think that's true.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's true. They play a lot together.
So. Also, Corey tried to throw a lob to Mason the other day. Shocking. We still don't have a guy who can throw Mason Plumlee a lob.
Wayne Ellington, baby.
I don't even know that he can. That dude, yeah, no.
Listen. Detroit has completed several objectives this year. For us as media to be as glowing as we've been for a 19-win team. No, being serious. Like, we've spent more time talking about we can see the vision. And I know other people around the league, coaches and players, who have said the same thing. Like, this is the first time in a while they've seen the plan in Detroit. And I think, again, it is a hat tip to Dwayne and to Troy. But we are at a point in the season where, as I said before, man, I'm not the tank guy. But when you're staring at the finish line and it's either go win 23 games or go have a chance to get a top three pick, it's a no-brainer, man. It's a no-brainer, and I think that we'll see – more things catered to that in these final 10 games. Just simply because there's a culture in place. There's foundation in place. They executed what they wanted to get done. They got the young guys experience and they can continue to get the young guys experience, in these final 10 games. It's just, yeah, maybe just a little more Davita Savitas, maybe a little more Jahlil Okafor.
I honestly don't.
A little more Tyler Cook.
Can you just be on the record and say that you are dead serious about playing Dave more? Because people,
I'm dead serious. No, I'm dead serious.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
It's honestly funny to hear you say that. Also, the Tyler Cook thing, I actually would like to see that. I know that Dwayne said we want to get more looks at Sekou. We want to get more
Sekou,
looks.
Or Sekou. And Sekou played 19 minutes the other night. Yeah, that was totally fine.
And the Tyler Cook thing, I actually do want to see him play because I actually think he's a guy who would be kind of fun to keep watching on this team. I think he'd be really – I hope they keep him in at least – I hope they keep him with the Crews. Can I say that? Do you think they'll keep him down there at least?
Possibly. Yeah, I don't – maybe somebody offers him a 10-day or something.
That's a good point. I forgot because he actually is good and other teams are probably going to want him. When I say somebody's good, people know what that means.
Okay.
So imagine how I would describe somebody like Devin Booker. Like,
what do you think about Luke? Tell me what you think about Luke Kennard.
He's good. Yeah. The guy can flat out play.
Yeah. He can.
He's really good.
No, he is.
Anyways, I don't want to do the Luke thing again. Somebody got mad at me, and I thought about it for like 3 days.
All right, sorry.
I hate that guy.
Sorry.
You talk about the Pistons have checked a lot of boxes this year.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most important one that they've checked besides sort of the vision becoming clearer?
Establishing and finding guys that are going to play hard every single night.
Does like, it excite you knowing that?
It's super hard. Like I wrote it in the story. The fact that Dwayne has those guys pulling out a 14-point win against Atlanta in late April, like this has been a drag of a season. Mm. And they play hard still. It's starting to feel like summer vacation. Like you remember in school when you could smell it in the air, field day just passed, you had fun outside, and you can smell the grass cut, like you're running home, it's not dark till 9, like it's summer vacation. And this team could easily bow and they don't. And it's a credit to the guys Troy brought in, and it's a credit to Dwayne Casey being a leader of men and a coach that the players believe in and want to play for.
Can I give you one? I'm a little bit serious.
Yeah.
The biggest check that we box this year is killing armchair GMs. Because Troy Weaver can do pretty much anything at this point, and
that's a good one.
We go, you know what? That's probably going to make sense, if not today, maybe in a week.
There's been
maybe
a lot less armchair GMs this year.
I think Troy Weaver, it is bananas that the guy has been here less than 1 year. Less than 365 days, and we've already been like, okay.
Because there's a vision, and that's what I'm saying. Yes. They established the vision. They established the play-hard culture. Nothing in these last 10 games will change that. It is, sure. I think it is in the fabric simply because of the guys that they've brought in and the way that they're coached. Now is the time to check box number 2, which is building upon the foundation with the best player you could possibly get, and you have to put yourself in the position to get that player. And, we've said it for 32 minutes, sans a few minutes talking about whatever else we talked about. But it just makes too much sense. Like, you're here. You can you're in the dance. You're at the door of the party you need to be at early for.
Yeah.
Kick it in. Get in there. There was no fans. When fans get back, I tell you, they're going to be far more excited if one of those four names are on that roster after what they saw from the guys before they were on this roster. They had that person. There's just no benefit in the other way. And somebody said to me, to go with your Weaver point, they'd be like, it goes against the culture, and Weaver has shown he can pick wherever he's shown he can pick wherever he picks. I'm like, it's a fair point, but I can tell you right now, Troy would rather have the number one pick than number 8. Think of what he can do when he gets to dictate the board and not pick based on how it's dictated for him.
Mm. He'll pick up Josh Christopher or something like that. He'll do something crazy. Crazy.
If the Pistons got the number one pick and didn't pick like Kay, Jalen, Evan, or Suggs, it would be – I want it to happen simply because chaos.
Yeah.
The chaos would be immaculate.
I just want to backtrack and say I said I was kind of serious about the killing the armchair GMs because James agreed with it. I was actually dead serious.
No, I don't. I don't see as many armchair GMs. No,
big fan of that. Another one that I really like. I don't know if this is a box that's checked or maybe it's just in parentheses under the killing the armchair GMs. Maybe the little asterisk. I don't know. I think anybody who walks through that door, I go, this guy can probably play. I've said this before, I didn't know a ton about Tyler Cook other than he had a lot of bounce. But I was like, he can probably play because if Troy Weaver likes him, there's probably something there. Mm-hmm. I think there's only one guy on this roster who is here that I cannot say that about. And I'm not going to say who that is, but I look at a guy.
I think there's probably two.
Well, I don't know who the other one is. But anyways, I think – well, even my guy, I think, can play. He just can't play here. Anyways, it's really fun for me to not question things and to not worry that something stupid is going to happen and to just sit there and think – and maybe – honestly, I think maybe he's got to do something a little crazy to keep me on my toes a little bit. I don't want to get complacent with having an amazing GM. I don't know. I just – because then when he finally messes up – which is hard to imagine right now that he can, because I can only think of one thing that he's done that in retrospect I can at least retroactively disagree with. I can only think of one thing off the top of my head. Should I say what it is? Is it rude to say?
What do you think it is?
I think that signing Jahlil was dumb. I remember at the time I was like, you know what? I actually like this because he's randomly going to give you 15 and 10.
I would argue, I wouldn't call it dumb. I see what you're saying. Now, 72 right. games in, you see no need for Jahlil.
Right.
At the time, I don't know if anybody expected this much from Isaiah. So I think.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying is that retroactively, I think it was dumb. But in the moment, I remember
I wouldn't say dumb. I'd say unnecessary.
I think it's dumb. Okay. So, but like you said, that's just because of hindsight. That's just because now this is what we know. I just think it's completely useless.
Well, do you want to see some Jahlil Okafor now?
Yes.
Okay, well, then it ain't dumb.
Well, we could have seen Tyler Cook. But then it's just, it's semantics. You're just picking straws. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't matter. That's not a slight on Troy Weaver for signing Jahlil Okafor, because again, at the time, I loved it. I was like, "This is awesome!"
Went to Duke. I love people that went to Duke.
Yeah, I was a big.
He's from Chicago. I live in Chicago.
Here's what I'll say. I actually went to Michigan State.
I love Michigan State.
I hated Jahlil Okafor in college because of what he did to us in the Final Four.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Mm.
And he almost went to State, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember that being a thing. I remember Josh Jackson almost coming here.
I think Jahlil was close.
How about that Amani Bates shot?
Yeah, that was nuts. Shout out to Ipsy.
Did you see the scoreboard?
Yeah, dude, it's unfair.
No. It said, for Amani's team, it said Bates. And then for the other team, it said team.
Oh. Wasn't it an AAU game?
I don't know. But I was like, wait a minute. Is that how we identify as, like, this is the Amani Bates team and this is the not Amani Bates team?
That's funny. I don't know what setting that was in. Maybe that was AAU and he plays for Team Bates.
Is there anything that Troy Weaver's done that you, in retrospect, at least disagreed with? Play the hindsight game. I'm perfectly clear. I'm not mad at him for the Jahlil Okafor thing.
People say
the Plumlee thing, I think they're dumb.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know in retrospect, because of how Isaiah Stewart has played, I don't know if that was necessary for the price.
I think 3 years is the only thing I would change there.
Fair. I mean, it's not even that long of a deal. I think Plumlee's played well enough they could trade Plumlee this summer if they wanted to.
Agreed. 100%. Made another behind his head shot the other night.
He did.
By the way,
yeah, I don't know. Like I've been on record. I've liked all the moves. I would just say, yeah, like Isaiah's. I'd be curious if the Pistons are even better defensively if Isaiah's a starter. I've been on record on wax and on here that Troy's done great stuff. Now, I think these last 10 games are important. I think maybe you have an executive meeting, and I get it. There is a respect factor to trying to win, and I'm not saying I'm not saying the players are going out there and trying to lose. That's never going to happen. That's never a question. When it comes down to taking, it's the players, how the organization uses the players is what tanking is, and or signs player. It's what you have at your disposal. I think an executive meeting here for these final 10 games would be, again, as I said, there's no benefit in winning two or three more games.
I wonder how contentious that war room is. Do you think they got? Do you think they're all sitting at a conference table? They got Tom on speaker in his LA penthouse
on Zoom,
and they're all just kind of their ties are all loosened. They're just kind of hunched over on the table, and Tom's just giving them the business. You better win these games.
I don't know if he's banging for wins, but I definitely think that there are some people who, see the benefit in closing these 10 games a certain way, and people who see a benefit in ending these 10 games a different way.
I think it's clear that you and I are on the same page with that, and I don't know that we need to bang it home for the 50th time in this episode, because you and I agree.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. It's going to get really interesting if, let's say we win these last 10, we win 6 out of 10. It's not going to happen, but that Minnesota game is going to be.
Minnesota's the one. Minnesota might alone keep Detroit safe. Minnesota's going to win some games. They're back. Everybody's back.
I might not watch that Minnesota game.
Can't take it.
There's
one more Orlando game too, right?
I think you're right. And then I think it's like Cleveland. No, wait. We're done with Cleveland. It's like Chicago.
Let's go through the schedule. Let's read off. I'm going to have Nick play.
Speaking of Minnesota, you and I have something to talk about.
Pistons schedule. Oh, yeah. We can close on that.
That we were going to close on that. People were probably very confused as to what I was tweeting.
Dallas and Detroit. Who you got?
It'll be the first time that Luka Doncic has played a regular season game in Little Caesars Arena in his career.
And you would imagine that they don't sit anybody because Carlisle went off on the media the other day about, I don't know who's sitting, don't quit asking me that. He's obviously against it, and they have playoff positioning to fight for.
Mm-hmm. They're struggling with the Kings.
So you're going Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that we see a Davita Servetus appearance on Thursday and some more of some other guys.
Watch the Mavs trade for him. If you know, you know.
Pistons in Charlotte on Saturday. Miles Bridges is balling out of his mind.
Yeah, he's been crazy. Melo should be back soon, right? That's the timeline. He should be back soon.
I don't know about for Saturday, but yeah, he should be back soon. Either way, I'm taking Charlotte.
I actually think that's a toss-up, but Cody Zeller's weirdly been holding it down for them.
Yeah, and Rozier's been balling. They have too many guys. I don't think the Pistons win that one.
Yeah, sure.
Orlando on Monday.
I'm definitely not watching that. I will not watch any Magic game ever.
All right. So, I mean, that's a toss-up for me, if the Pistons roll out the worst line possible.
I think we'll pull that one off. 1-2.
Charlotte comes to Detroit on Tuesday. I think we both take Charlotte. The Grizzlies still have to fight for play-in, and I think we'll take Memphis.
Jaren's back.
Do the Sixers, they have to – do they care about playoff positioning on Saturday, May 8th?
The MVP race isn't done. I don't know. I don't know that Joel
never plays against Detroit. Him and Arn Tellem are really close, so he'll be there. I don't know if he'll play.
Yeah. Andre's not here anymore. He's got no reason to.
Chicago's been bad. There's a Chicago game.
So I know was Zach right. Levine. It is Chicago. And they've been bad.
Yeah.
They've been really bad.
There's two or three winnable games in here. Minnesota, I think Minnesota wins.
What day is that on?
Tuesday, May 11th.
Okay, I won't be working. That's a shame. Wish I had an excuse.
And then the Nuggets,
they're not going to be playing anybody.
Possible. And then the Heat to end the year, who could also not play anybody.
Who cares? If you could kick a team out of the league, who would it be? There's a question for you. Move them.
Plug your ears.
What are you going to say? You going to say Sacramento?
Yeah, I don't enjoy.
That's okay.
That's my least favorite city in the NBA.
Oh my gosh,
I hate Sacramento.
Orlando, based on just disgusting.
I like Orlando.
I hate their uniforms. I hate everything about the Magic.
You hate Orlando's uniforms?
I hate everything about their franchise design. All of it.
You didn't even like the pinstripe T-Mac era jerseys. Like the
no,
hottest,
those are okay. No. Those are cool. But everything now and the orange ones and just everything is disgusting. The Galaxy ones, gross. But if I had to kick a team out of a league just based on pure disdain and eradicate their fan base from the face of the earth, Miami, for sure.
That's shocking.
Players
would fight you back on that one.
Good for that. Oh, well, I get – okay. Yeah,
who doesn't want to go to Miami?
and you as well, not just
players.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed at you. I'd be pissed.
All right, James, we're going to talk about something. I'm your agent now.
You are.
I'm controlling your destiny.
You are.
And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, those who didn't see the tweets, James was drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the 2020 NBA draft. 2020 NBA draft. I'm actually annoyed because as soon as we stopped recording on Sunday, the second we stopped, I let him know.
You should tell people that you're talking about an NBA 2K.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I told James that I was going to make him to be like my player in 2K21. And we started talking about it, and we were like, he was like, we should have talked about this on the show. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know if I should bring it up. So I did it that night, got recruited, did go to Michigan State, played a few games there. I wanted to go to like Oklahoma or Florida, but I was like, you know what? I can control this. Yeah, I got to keep on. I got to keep it, you know.
Gotta keep the story so rolling.
We did play at Michigan State.
Am I in the rafters? Am I next to Scott Skiles and
we
Steve
lost
Smith?
In the Natty.
To who?
UConn.
Ew.
Yeah, devastated. It's like when Shabazz knocked us out seven years ago.
Did Bookwright give me some buckets?
It was a bunch of computer generated. Anyways,
Michael Green scores 42 points.
Yeah, guy, he's got a big mohawk and a stupid goatee. Anyways, so James gets drafted to Minnesota after 11 games.
I went number one.
Technically, he did go number two.
You said Minnesota for some reason had pick one and two.
Because there's like a guy that the story creates, okay, and he like has to go number one. But like we still have.
Is he like my rival?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah. So he went one. You went two, and then they still have Anthony Edwards. So Minnesota.
Wait. So my rival's on my team?
Yeah. Really weird.
Okay.
I don't understand this story. I skip every cutscene. I don't care. I'm just here to hoop.
Yeah.
After 11 games, James, I texted him. He's playing well. I go, how you feel? You like Minnesota? You like Minnesota? No. No. Get me out. Get me out of Minnesota. James, I have an update for you.
Ooh.
A lot has happened. Do you want me to sit you down?
Explain to me what are the possibilities or what's happened.
So, I got to be honest with you, man. The trade market wasn't too great. It was really difficult to move a guy who's on a rookie scale deal only for 1 year. It's difficult for us to get equal compensation for you. You know, a guy in his first year, 19 years old, putting up 20 a game. We just weren't able to find anything that, you know, sort of benefited the team in the way that the other team would be benefited in order or for getting you. So trade deadline came and went. They weren't able to move you. Here's what I will say. I'm going to break immersion really quick. You did win the 3-point contest. You were an all-star, by the way.
And nobody would trade for me?
What were they going to give you? What were they going to give for you?
A rookie all-star?
You're right, but the teams that I wanted to trade. So here's what I did. So
who offered?
So I don't know, but you have to pick what team you get traded to.
All right.
So I closed my eyes and just like scrolled up and down for about a minute and like just clicked through. So if we got traded, I didn't know where we were going.
Okay.
So I thought that was more fun.
Yeah.
Right. So we get to the end of the year, 62 wins.
For a minute in Minnesota,
Minnesota 2 seed.
That's what we do, baby.
I
winning culture.
I really wanted to leave though. Sorry, you really wanted to leave. Let me know.
I love Minnesota too. Shout out to my if we have any listeners in Minneapolis. I actually enjoy Minneapolis.
You took a dive in the second round. You threw.
Oh, did I? I point shaved.
Yeah, we lost. Portland beat us, ended up actually going to the finals, beat the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. So we entered free agency. But, James, I got to tell you.
Wait, I'm a free agent after year one?
Yeah, that's just how the game works.
Okay.
I got you the best deal I could.
All right, hit it to me. How much first?
All right. 900 VC a game, which works out to like $10 million a year or something. Yeah. I don't know.
So you can get my accessories.
You look good. I got you the sleeve.
Thank you.
You can only do so much. I'm not going to do a one-to-one recreation of your friggin' tattoos.
That's fine.
I got you a new deal. You're going to be on an up-and-coming team. You got a future. You got a generational talent at point guard.
Is it Charlotte?
It's not. No, I would never play in Charlotte.
You wouldn't want to play with Miles and LaMelo?
Uniforms.
You don't like Charlotte's uniforms?
In the court. Yeah.
We're going to have to do a jersey ranking when the season's over.
Oh, they got the new ones.
I don't give a shit what jerseys they got. They're fire.
I hate the honey. I hate the floor. I hate the colors. Anyways.
Okay.
I mean, like the pinstripe ones are cool. The throwbacks.
No,
anyways.
No. You're wrong. But go ahead,
James. You went to a team, that I never in a million years thought that I would ever play for in 2K. You are a Memphis Grizzly.
Ew.
You don't like that. You need out. You want me to get you out?
Ew. So it's me and Ja and Jaren.
You, Ja, Jaren.
No, I like you that.
Know, so here's what
I like that. That's the trio of the future. Yes. I like that.
Yes. You, you and I, you had some really strong two-man stuff going with Naz Reid. I'm not kidding.
Did you trade for Naz Reid?
No. That was in Minnesota.
Okay.
So when you go to leave for a new team, it'll tell you player movement. It'll tell you this player left or this player resigned. There was one that almost shifted where we went because I really wanted to play with this guy.
Let me guess.
No. All right. Kawhi left.
Ooh, you're gonna get me to my team, the Clippers. 14, the new Livingston.
We weren't gonna go to LA. We were gonna follow Kawhi. The Clippers did offer a bag. So did the Nets.
I love that you were using Kawhi's exit as a way for me to play with your best friend.
No. I'm telling you, we weren't going to the Clippers. We were going to follow Kawhi.
Okay.
But it was where he went that I couldn't stomach it for you. He went to the Knicks. And yeah, I just didn't want to do that.
I love MSG, but I'm straight on the Knicks.
How do you feel? You like Memphis so far.
Memphis. Let's build something there. If we don't get a title within 2 years.
It's a 2-year deal.
Okay. Send me out if we don't get a title.
So you're good with Stan. You're good with hanging out for a little bit.
Yeah. I like that trio. I get to be back with my college dorm mate, Jaren Jackson. Me and Jav really hit it off. He's a Mobb Deep fan as well. Yeah. So we I like it. I'm a big Taylor Jenks fan. Taylor Jenkins.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Wait, is it Jenks or Jenkins? Why am I having a brain freeze?
Taylor Jenkins. It's Taylor Jenkins. You did get Chris Finch coach of the year, by the way.
That's what I do. I make everybody look better.
Rookie of the year, sixth man of the year, third team all NBA, first team all rookie.
I couldn't get a trade. Do I need a new agent? I need a new agent, bro. This is ridiculous.
I got you the max.
Yeah, you got me the max in Memphis.
All right. Well, you could have gone to Brooklyn, a team that had just won the finals, but I didn't think that was you. That's not your personality.
No, you're right. I'm not.
You wouldn't have done that.
Nah, I wouldn't have title chased.
No, you don't like that. We got to build something.
I love Brooklyn, though, but I wouldn't have title chased.
We spent way longer on this than I thought we were going to. All right, somebody asked this question. You and I didn't reply because I was like, well, I don't think James was actually there yet. So your first year was 17-18.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Aaron Baines' last year was 16-17, so you don't have an Aaron Baines story.
I don't have
correct?
An Aaron Baines story.
Ah, that's what I thought. So story time with James was just
I actually have an Aaron
about...
Baines story.
Oh.
That I just learned about. But I don't – nah, it's not worth it. No.
So I guess story time with James
today – it's not that
funny
unless you know the people involved.
Sure. Yeah. Story time with James today was just you talking about your change of scenery. Just talk to Omari. Talk to Omari about Memphis. He's got all the – you know, he knows
all
the spots.
They have a bar in Memphis that every other weekend that they turn into a wrestling event. I've always wanted to do that. We're never in Memphis when that goes on. That's on the top of the NBA travel bucket list when we get back is the NBA scheduling a game in Memphis, the one game in Memphis on the right weekend to catch that.
Best wings in Detroit.
Sweetwater.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, Sweetwater.
Probably the answer, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Pick your record.
Oh, crap. Sheesh. Okay. Sheesh. Do you have one first?
No.
Gosh damn you. All right, we're going to go with James Blake.
Ooh.
Where?
Whoa.
James Blake overturn. Overgrown.
Whoa.
The Jam, Life Round Here. People have probably heard it. But
oh, my goodness.
You know,
look at
you.
You
know, I was in my James Blake bag.
Whoa, this is blowing my
James
mind.
Blake. Shout out to James Blake.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to go James Blake Overgrown. Life Around Here is the song I would recommend you go listening to before you listen to the album to see if you want to listen to the rest of the album. He's English, right?
He is.
English, soul, and R&B. He's got some flavor to him. Produces as well.
He does. He does a lot of stuff with Travis. Yeah. He was Stop Trying to Be God. He was in that song.
Okay.
Assume Form, the record that came out in 2019. The song that actually has Travis on it. I'm totally blanking on what the name of the song is right now. This is going to make me really mad. Mile High. That's right. Wow, look at you in your James Blake bag.
James
this is
Blake.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go assume form then. I didn't know we could pick him. Yeah, assume form then.
Okay.
You didn't know we could pick him, dude. You've been out here picking Rich Chiga the whole time. We could pick James Blake. What's his new name? Because he definitely can't be walking around with the name Rich Chiga. What's his new name? Brian.
It's Rich Brian.
Rich Brian. Yeah. Yeah, if you can pick Rich Brian, we can pick James Blake.
I can't believe that he made Ghostface Killah call him that.
That's hilarious. If you haven't seen that on YouTube, type in Ghostface Killah, Rich Brian, and what was my man from Miami that's on that? Puya?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out that
you
song.
Listen to that. You listen to that new Lil Yachty record with all the Michigan rappers on it?
I skimmed through it and then realized it's just 15 songs of Detroit rap. New Detroit rap, which all new Detroit rap sounds the same to me. I can't do it.
T-Grizzly had a really strong verse on there.
I saw T-Grizzly pumping gas, like his own gas. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, he wasn't pumping. He was pumping gas in a nice car.
Yeah.
Randomly when I lived in Troy, just like at a speedway, just parked.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was random. There was one song on that. I think it was called Dynamic Duo. It was literally a Miles Bridges beat, but there was no Miles Bridges. And I was like, what? Wait.
Yeah, I skimmed through the thing just to see, like, what in the world it would sound like. Like, I literally spent, like, 45 seconds. I just can't do the Detroit drill stuff, man. It just all sounds the same to me. I know I'm going to get a lot of blowback on this, but it's just not my – as you can tell, if you're listening to this podcast, not my type of vibe.
Big Cordae guy.
I can't. Anyway. I need the flow to switch up. I need the beats to not have the same BPM and same drums. It's just too much of the same.
Preferred BPM.
I like 91.
Give me
much any beat I've put on is like 90 to 95. Yeah, you know me. I'm like the
okay. Yeah,
I'm like the backpack. You know how it goes. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave a review if you're feeling generous. What else do I usually say? If you made it this far, genuinely, thank you very, very much for listening. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.